Hey, everybody. It is Janine back again at the Nude Beach, where we unmask from the past and get a little bit vulnerable. Today, I have a very special guest, Jessica Balladad, and she's going to tell us about a traumatic experience that she has gone through. So let's welcome her, guys. Hey, Jessica, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I just want to say thank you for coming on my show today and getting a little bit real and vulnerable, because, you know, we all have very traumatic stories. And if you can just, you know, get into your story for us and tell us a little bit about what trauma you experienced and how it's impacted you to where you are today.
Sure. Well, I'm a young cancer survivor. When I was 32, turning 33 years old, I did a self breast exam in the shower, and I found a lump in my breast. And I had been in the habit of doing self breast exams since I was 18, because in college I actually had a lumpectomy. There was a benign tumor in my breast that I found accidentally. So had that removed, and that on top of having a family history of breast cancer on my dad's side of the family, I was just in the habit of doing self-breast exams. And so one day I'm in the shower, I'm doing an exam, I find a lump and I get freaked out. And at first I'm like, wait a minute, I'm healthy. I work out. I don't really drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I eat well. I'm fine. You know, I'm good. And you know what? I had just been at the doctor about 2 weeks prior, where I had a physical exam of my breast. She didn't say anything to me about finding anything abnormal. So I thought, I'm good. I'm just going to keep living my life and, you know, I'll be fine.
The natural human response, right?
I convinced myself that I was fine and okay. Kind of gaslighted myself a little bit. And, you know, I went to Dr. Google and I started Googling symptoms of breast cancer, and I only had a lump. I didn't have any dimpling or puckering, no discharge, no bleeding, no rash, you know, no inverted, you know, nipple or anything. So I thought, I'm good. So, Dr. Google says I'm fine. I'm going to keep living my life.
Yeah. The natural, I do the same thing. The hypochondriac syndrome, right? What can I find?
Right, exactly. Except I was trying to convince myself I did not have cancer, even though everything on the internet was telling me, hey, you probably should get this checked out. And I'm like, no, I'm too young to get cancer. And I'm fine. And cancer is only on my dad's side of the family, not my mom's side. So I'm fine. And I was trying to find reasons not to have cancer.
That's fair. So tell us a little bit about your journey through that process, because that's a pretty traumatic experience finding that out, right?
Yeah. So, you know, after I found the lump and dismissed myself, it was the summer of 2018. And I just noticed I was taking really long naps, and I would sleep about 7 to 9 hours a night. And in the middle of the day, I just feel like I needed a nap, and I work from home, so I am able to do that. So I was starting to set an alarm to wake up after 2 hours. Like, I needed to set an alarm for a nap. And my first thought was like, man, being 30 is so hard. I'm tired all the time. And I'm like, so I guess this is what your 30s are all about. But one day after a nap, I grab my phone and I start scrolling through it. And I saw a girl that I had met at my sister's wedding a few months prior. And she was shaving her head with her friends. And I text my sister, I said, why is so-and-so shaving her head? And my sister's like, oh, she's getting ready to start chemotherapy. She has cancer. I'm like, what? I said, she's only a year older than me. So I really need to get this lump checked out. And at this point, no one in my family knew. My husband didn't even know. Everyone asks, like, didn't your husband notice it? And the answer is no, because it was really, really deep into my breast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't tell anyone because I thought I was fine. And because cancer is so heavy in my family, I didn't want anyone to worry. And yeah, so, went back to the doctor. The doctor sends me in for a screening mammogram and then immediately an ultrasound. The ultrasound tech is going over my arm with the radiologist in the room, and the radiologist stops her and says, hey, wait, get that lymph node, that big one. And I sat up and I'm like, what lymph node? And he's like, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I've seen this before. I'm pretty sure it's cancer. Can you meet me at the hospital in the morning? I can do your biopsy right away. I said, yeah. And that's cool. I'm going to need your help because no one in my family knows what's going on. And I've got to call them and tell them. So, you know, immediately. So
what was the emotions that were going through you during this time? Like, was it just shock or like,
you know, I was stoic and at the same time relieved and afraid and ashamed. And I felt relief because I continued to Google it throughout the summer and still trying to convince myself I was fine because I was still doing my self exams and I would keep finding the lump. And I was just like, you're fine. It's hormonal. You know, you're good. You know, you're a healthy 30-year-old woman. You're fine. And so by the time I got to him, there was like actually instant relief. And then I went to being stoic and then shame started to sink in because at that time I was also losing an aunt to breast cancer.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah. Very sorry that you went through that.
Yeah. And I knew I would have to tell my dad, who was getting ready to go be with his sister, and my husband, who is like the most optimistic, happy-go-lucky guy, was like always on top of the world. And he had just started a new job and I was having to call him. And, you know, I'm calling my family one by one and telling them what's going on. And when I got to my husband, I was just like, just meet me at my dad's house. Everyone's meeting at my dad's house. And he's like, what's going on? And I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it to tell him.
Yeah.
So there's like the shame setting in and then, you know, the fear, like, oh my God, I'm about to start, you know, battling for my life.
So what did you do during that process to kind of help you through it? Like, did you have a support network or?
I did. So at first, you know, I was alone through everything, going to the doctor by myself and everything. The moment I started telling my family and my close friends, nobody left me alone after that.
Well, that's good, even though it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it was a little overwhelming. Like my mom flew in, she lived in North Dakota at the time, and she came in and just kind of went into mother hen mode. And you know, at the same time, I'm having to remind everyone, I'm like, I understand you're watching me go through this and it's hard for you. At the same time, I'm still very much an adult. So please treat me like an adult. I am not a child. I am very capable of making some really big decisions right now. So I had to set boundaries like up front right away.
Oh, boundaries are so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I had to define, you know, the property, what was okay, what was not okay, you know, from the get-go. And then talking to my husband and making sure that we were aligned on everything. And, you know, ultimately he's like, everything is your decision and I understand and I support you 110%. I'm going to be there for you. I said, that's great. But there were some things I didn't want my husband to be there for. And he respected that. And there were times when my family would like come to the doctor with me, you know, to my oncologist. We have a family oncologist who has treated my grandmother, my aunt, and now he was going to be treating me. I'm the fourth generation in my family with breast cancer, and we have no known gene mutation that's been discovered yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you did say at the beginning that you are a survivor. So are you in remission right now?
I am in remission right
now.
That
is wonderful.
Yeah. I am about 2.5 years in remission. Up at this point, I've gone through 16 rounds of chemo, 24 rounds of radiation, a double mastectomy, a hysterectomy, and a phase 1 flap reconstruction where they took fat tissue and blood vessels from my abdomen and they put them in my chest to recreate my body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I have one more surgery to go that will hopefully close this chapter completely. And I can just focus on survivorship from here on out.
Yeah. So you've definitely been through quite the journey, especially like not only the trauma of finding out that you have cancer, but all of those surgeries, right? We forget those are traumas too. Yeah. That's very impactful. Yeah. How would you say like throughout this whole experience, like what was the thing that helped push you through?
I would say, yeah, my husband, my faith. I would say, knowing that I was finishing the battle that my family had fought before me, and you know, I was gonna go hard on this, and mm-hmm. I kept them in mind the whole time, knowing that, hey, I'm gonna finish this. I'm gonna come out stronger than before. And I know that you're not fighting anymore, but I'm gonna finish it for you. I'm gonna finish it out.
Well, it sounds like you've done that, right? And that's amazing. Like that's quite the journey that you've went through, and you should be proud of yourself, right? Especially the fact that you're in remission. That is huge, huge. Yeah. If you were to like give advice to our listeners, what would you let them know about experiencing this kind of traumatic experience? Like what advice would you give to somebody that is maybe just finding out that they might be going through this similar situation?
I would say know who your safe people are, who your support group is, your core group of people, and stay in touch with them, and then get connected to other people who have been through the same experiences. Like a trauma therapist or a cancer therapist or someone who is well versed and knowledgeable in the area of cancer or body trauma, and start building your support network from the very beginning. And also, I will say, after I was diagnosed, having to tell my friends, my extended family and friends, on outer circles of my life, it was emotionally exhausting and taxing on me to have to keep telling people I have cancer, because crazy would happen. I would tell them I have cancer, and then they would get very emotional and very upset. And then all of a sudden I'm consoling them. I went to them for support, and I'm like, are you okay? You just found out your friend has cancer. Can I do something for you?
The oxymoron of the situation, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I got to where I appointed my one friend, kind of like I called her like my PR friend. Find your blabbermouth friend who doesn't mind talking, but you trust them at the same time. Tell them everything and let them spread the news, because it can be
very overwhelming. Wow. That's actually really good advice.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think to get somebody else to do that, or that would even be part of an issue, right? Like you wouldn't think that going through that, having to tell other people while you're going through your own really traumatic experience. Yeah. I think that's really good advice to give to the listeners, right? Is there anything else that you would like to dive into in regards to this that we haven't touched on?
Sure. I would say that in your own health advocacy, if you have goals, find the best tools and resources to advocate for yourself. Really identify your key problems, set a goal for what you're wanting to accomplish in overcoming those health obstacles, and build your support community around that, and find the character traits and the competencies of, the right doctors, the right people who can really be on track for what you want to accomplish in that, whether you have migraines or, a breast issue or something, maybe PCOS, no matter what your health battle is, set a goal, find the right people to support you, and don't feel like you have to be brave for everybody all the time. I think we're kind of in this culture where we want everyone to think we're so brave and that we're so strong. But I can tell you in my own experience that, outward facing to my friends and family, I felt like I had to be strong because I didn't want them to see me weak and feel like, you know, I guess I protected their feelings, and I didn't want them to be uncomfortable with seeing me in a weak moment, whether it was physically or emotionally. So there were times, even though I brought my family with me to my appointments, there were times I'd kick them out of the doctor's office, you know, and just let it be me and my oncologist, where I could break down in front of him and have my moment and have my feelings. But I would just say, don't feel like you have to be brave all the time. It's, you know, it's kind of like they say, it's okay not to be okay.
And, yes.
You know, you can talk about your struggle when you get through it, but you don't feel like you have to bring everyone into it while you're there. Of course, go to your, you know, your community and your safe people, but don't feel like you always have to put on a brave face either.
Yeah. It's those many masks, right? And sometimes we forget, because we forget to take care of ourselves. And first, self-love is really important, especially when going through some like something like this, right? Like 100% like this, people tend to forget, because like your mom, or you have to do all these things and you feel that you need to do all for everybody else, that you forget. So self-love is very, very important. Extremely important. Thank you for bringing that up. So now that, like, again, we know that you are a survivor, you're in remission, you have one surgery left. What are you doing now for yourself since going through this?
So I'm really passionate about breast health advocacy. When I was going through my second round of chemo, and I was coming out to my friends and extended family and letting them know that I had cancer, I thought, well, my physical appearance is changing and I don't plan on living under a rock, so I guess I need to tell everybody what's going on. And I, you know, as I explained how I got to that point in my cancer journey, through my second round of chemo, I discovered, through my friends asking me questions, they would be like, you know, how did you discover you had cancer, or what happened, or how did you get to this point? And I said, well, it started with a self breast exam. And my friends would be like, a what? You do what? And I'm like, no. I'm like, you don't do self breast exams? I've been doing these since I, you know, turned 18. And
I didn't start breast exams until I think it was 29. It was after my daughter. And my doctor was like, have you done this? I'm like, what is that? And then they did the exam where they put me through the breastplates, and I had no clue that that was of importance. So it's really good that you're advocating that, because women need to be aware, right?
Yeah. A lot of women didn't. And I found out, you know, my friends, they either didn't know how, they were afraid of finding something and not knowing what to do, or they were uncomfortable with their bodies. So I wanted to do something to help them overcome that. And so one night in the shower, I'm, you know, bathing and watching the remainder of my hair literally go down the drain, you know, watching my life go down the drain. And the shower had always been a vulnerable place for me to do my self breast exams. So the name just kind of came to me, like, feel for your life. And I'm just like, yeah, feel for your life. And I got out of the shower, the URL was available, all the social handles were available. And I'm like, this is perfect. I think I'm meant to do this. And so like everything was pointing in the right direction and aligning for me perfectly. And I just started to use that as a social media platform, you know, to tell my story and encourage and empower other women, you know, how to advocate for themselves, how to do self breast exams, what options they have, you know, the risk reducing measures that they can take, their prophylactic surgeries that they can have, you know, stuff like that. And I mean, every week I get tons of messages about, you know, I found a lump, what do I do next? And I'm like, well, first, I'm not a doctor, I can't give you medical advice. But what I can do is help talk to you about, you know, the anxiety that you feel, and I can empathize with you and help you, you know,
a support network.
Yeah, and tell you what I did to get over that fear, you know, to go to the doctor and take the next step. And I loved engaging with so many women, like, all over the world, you know, from Pakistan, you know, all over the United States, Canada, the Philippines. I couldn't believe, like, so many women had trusted me, you know, with their vulnerability in this too. And that's kind of what that kept me going and encouraged me to want to do more. So at the end of October of last year, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I just felt called to develop an app. And I knew nothing about developing apps. I knew a little about, you know, websites, but I thought, you know, I don't know anything about this, but I do know that I can learn. And so I'm going to learn everything I need to do and put all the right things in place and start Forrest Gumping my way through it. And that's really what it was for the longest time, because I started, you know, at the end, formally really got started in December of last year. And then there was a fire in France where my servers were, and I had to start all over. And then I had my flap surgery, my flap reconstruction surgery. And it was just, it was a mess.
Very overwhelming. Yeah. So you mentioned you have a website and an app. Would you mind sharing so the listeners may check it out?
Yeah, it's called Feel for Your Life. That's the name of the app. My website is feelforyourlife.com. And basically, like, it's just, I created it to be your best resource for breast health advocacy. I talk about, you know, mammograms and other screenings, you know, that you can do. I talk about prophylactic surgeries. I talk about dense breast tissue, you know, just things that come from Johns Hopkins University, the National Breast Cancer Foundation, the CDC. And it's really meant to be a starting point for you to start the conversation with your doctor. I cannot give medical advice. So I just give the information that I have learned from really credible sources that—
Well, and from your own journey too, right?
Yeah, right, and from I talk about my own experiences. But inside the app, you have all of those resources. There's an area where you can set a goal that helps keep you to a healthy accountability to doing self-breast exams. I put a self-exam tracker in there so that every month you could log your exams and take notes and track your findings. And, you know, using that, you know, say 1 month you didn't notice anything, but, you know, the next month you may have felt something that you didn't notice the first time, you know, the previous month. So you can call your doctor and say, hey, you know, I took note of this. Can we go over what I found, you know, because I was doing this. And I also let you set reminders as well, so you don't forget to do your monthly exams. And then there are recommendations and prompts for you to ask your doctor questions about when is the best time for you to do your exam, and what to look for, what to feel for, and what you can do to reduce your risks. Or, well, there's risk reducing and there's prophylactic, you know, right now. And in the cancer community, we're moving towards risk reducing, because saying preventative or prophylactic can be a little shame based, because if you think you're doing everything you can, you know, there are still other factors at play that can affect you getting cancer. So so risk reducing measures that you can take and talk to your doctor about.
Beautiful. Well, that's absolutely wonderful. Like, I think there needs to be a lot more of these creations out there, right? Awareness is the first step to helping any situation. And it's very beautiful that you've created this out of this really traumatic experience. And now you're shedding light to help everybody else out there that connects, that finds you. And hopefully this reaches a broad spectrum of my community so that more people are aware, because just having that little bit of extra knowledge and that extra support makes all the difference.
Absolutely.
So I do want to thank you for coming on today. If there's anything else before we wrap it up that you'd like my viewers and my listeners to know, now is the time to share.
So if you follow Feel for Your Life on Instagram, I talk a lot about gaslighting and medical gaslighting and some of the things that I had to overcome, because at the very beginning of my journey, I found out that my original practitioner, she did find the lump in my breast, but she didn't tell me about it because she thought I was too young to get cancer.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah.
She get malpractice for that?
You know, that's so tricky, because I was diagnosed at stage 2B. where I had more treatment options available. Had I gone terminal through stage four, you know, I'd have more of a case
there. Okay.
But with those cases, they generally get dragged out so that you either run out of money or life.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I talk about my obstacles with medical gaslighting on Instagram. You know, I like to make fun reels there. And the app Feel for Your Life is available in the App Store and the Google Play Store.
Wonderful. Well, again, I really thank you for coming on the Nude Beach and sharing your vulnerable story with us and going through like the trauma, right? Because here we like to unmask from the past and we like to get a bit vulnerable and we like to showcase that, you know, we're not in this alone. We all have different stories. They may not add up to the same, but we all are struggling from one form to another and there is a way out. So I do want to thank you again for coming onto the show and I hope my listeners love you as much as I do. And yeah, thank you, Jessica.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Yes, you have a wonderful day. And all who is listening, I will see you next week for another episode. Till next time.